It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
In front of the net, Hoffman has it. Tees up, fans on the puck as he was being checked there by Rossi.
Oh, man, what a chance for Hoffman. That's just a guy that... Oh,
and now a breakaway. Getting by Hoffman, it's Rossi moving in. Backhand chance. Oh, what a save by Mackenzie Blackwood. After Hoffman fanned on the chance one way, Rossi came in after making the D play, had a breakaway skating right by Mike Hoffman, and what a save by the goaltender Blackwood just about 6 minutes into this first period.
Bortolo knocked down by Brodin, but he worked it loose. Zetterlund with a minute left, shoots in deep. Ekman along the left boards. Will he stop it? No, it's cleared toward the empty net. Score! Well, that's it. Empty netter for Minnesota with 53.3 seconds to go. Ryan Hartman, the right-handed shooter, is going to get credit for that goal. It was Eklund was trying to keep it in, but he fed it all the way down, and into the goal it went. 3-1 Wild.
All right, what's happening, everybody? And welcome as we are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the St. Louis Blues today. 5 o'clock go time, and we are looking at a 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. The San Jose Sharks right now currently riding a 9-game winless streak. They are 16-48-8 on the season, 40 points, 7 back of the Blackhawks for the worst spot in the NHL, and then 5 in front of Anaheim. Is Anaheim, 52 points. We take a look at where the St. Louis Blues are right now. They are 5 points back of the final wild card spot in the Western Conference, 5 back of LA, and 8 back of where Nashville is. Nashville finally lost a game. They just keep on chugging along. They have been absolutely phenomenal. If we take a look at the Western Conference right now, we do see that with 101 points on the season right now, the Dallas Stars, who have won 6 in a row, are humming along. They've got the best mark in the Western Conference. Then we look at the Eastern Conference, the Rangers, who have clinched. They have 101 points, and they're followed very quickly. They've got 102 points, and they are followed by the Panthers, who have 99, the Bruins, who have 99, and as well, we are looking at the Carolina Hurricanes with 99 points. So the upper echelon teams in the NHL at this point have most definitely really made their case for how good they are. And we also say that, not unsurprisingly, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, the Bruins, and the Panthers have all clinched their playoff spots respectively in their division. The West, things are a little bit more up in the air. Things are still all over the place. Not in the sense that we know who is and who is not going to make the playoffs. Like, I would have a hard time believing that Vancouver or Edmonton or Dallas or Colorado would not be in there pending some sort of collapse, the likes of which we have never seen. It's just the clinch mark is a little bit still off the table. The only team that has clinched up to this point is Dallas with their 101 points on the season. In terms of lineup news that we are looking at for the San Jose Sharks, the expectation is that it will be as it was on Thursday night when they had their loss against the Wild. Mackenzie Blackwood is going to be in net once again, and I'm looking for Mackenzie Blackwood to have another strong performance after what I felt was the most Mackenzie Blackwood start since he returned from injury that we saw the other night. That looked like Mackenzie Blackwood. He gave up 2 goals, neither of which am I really putting on him. I think those were difficult situations. And I think if you've only given up 1 goal going into the third period, you've given your team a chance to win. I hammer that home all the time. And I also think that if you only give up 2 goals over the course of a game before a third empty netter comes in, you've also done your job to give your team an opportunity to win. Beyond that, I'm also looking forward to seeing more from Bortolo and Eklund. I know that maybe there are some out there that feel they would have liked more production from both this year, and I know that's harder because Bortolo is with the CUDA for most of the year, but I also think that what we've been seeing out of both of them as of late it's allowed them to develop their game a lot. Obviously, Eklund has shown great development this year, but I've really liked what I've seen from Thomas Bortolo, and I think that his future is very, very bright. I just enjoy watching the players learn the NHL game, learn what's being asked of them, understand their responsibilities out there on the ice, and I think that with Bortolo in particular, this most recent time up, he's really shown a lot of what he has to offer at the NHL level. So for me, that's just, it's very, very exciting. I think that's the only way I can really express what I've seen from him as of late. And then William Eklund, he's a two-way player. He is a player that understands and is understanding to a greater level what his responsibilities are out there on the ice. And for me, that's been one of the most fun things to see this year, because you just don't always see it that way. You don't always watch that player take those leaps in real time. But with Eklund up to this point of the year, I think we have been watching him take those leaps in real time. And that's why it's so so exciting for me to see what exactly has gone down for him this year. And it makes me excited for what's going to be on the future. Klim Kostin, I've really enjoyed what he's brought to the table. I like his size immediately. He also knows how to use his size. The Sharks need more bigger bodies out there in general. So to watch him be able to put that to work usefully for the Sharks when they're out there on the ice, yeah, it's massive. I love his big shot. I love the fact that he's getting an opportunity here. And I love that that's what is defining the end of this season for the San Jose Sharks. It's not about some playoff push. It's not about what is going to be the ultimate design of this team when they are back in contention. You're just seeing guys prove who wants to be here. Who wants it more than someone else? Who wants to prove themselves? Who wants to be the best body? Who wants to be the best player? Who wants to show that they can get a new contract, that they're worthy of it? You know, that's what I'm hoping to see. One guy who's calmed down as of late in terms of his production has been Philip Zadina, which, you know, I really would like to see him have a strong push to the end of the season. This is the first of 10 final games left. It's game 73. He had a good stretch right there after the All-Star break, but then quieted down again. This would be a perfect opportunity for the Sharks to really thrust themselves back into a winning side of things. And I know that, yeah, there's not a lot of winning right now for obvious reasons, but when we do look at what they're capable of, they are capable of winning a game. And I would hope that the Sharks do show that they can get a win, not just in general, but also on the road. I think they need that for their confidence level. I mean, if you go back over the course of this year, most specifically since the All-Star break, they have only won two games. And that's tough. There's no other way to go about it. That makes life very, very difficult. But, you know, in the month of February, they had the one win against Calgary. And then you go into the month of March and they had the win against Ottawa. And other than that, it's just unfortunately been a lot of losing for the San Jose Sharks. And I just think that for their mental health, for their self-preservation, I think, yeah, you want them to have the greatest chance to get the lottery and get Mecklen Celebrini. However, beyond that, you want them to be able to just kind of have something to be happy about, right? Like I've worked in professional sports for a long time. You can't really express how much lighter the room is when you win, how much easier it is to smile, how you can just finally exhale. And I think that that's what everybody on this Sharks team wants to do. They just want to be able to get a little bit of lightness back in the room, be able to shrug, let the guard down for a moment, even if it's just, you know, from tonight until they take the ice again on Monday against the Kraken. You just want to have something where you can just let the guard down, exhale, and feel that much more focused going into the game. Because we've heard David Quinn talk about this many, many times this year. It weighs on you. It's something that you have to carry with you. These losses pile up, and you think about what you can do. You're playing, you know, too much of an individual game out there on the ice. You're maybe trying to force things. You're maybe trying to do too many things that, you know, are not ultimately going to help you win every single game, but you feel like in the moment you have to do it. So you overextend yourself. You maybe draw a penalty that you're not necessarily expecting to draw. You maybe do just something a little bit more than you should have that gets you out of position that allows the team to put the, you know, puck in the opposite direction. Or you try to make too much happen on a pass and you turn it over because you're stretching, you're overextending, you're trying to do too much. It's that desire to play hero hockey. And I completely understand where that desire comes from. Everybody on that Sharks team wants to be the reason or part of the reason why the team ends this losing streak and puts themselves in a position to win. And I think that when you get to that point, you also have to remind yourself to be careful, to not do too much, to not try and give yourself, you know, too many issues out there on the ice to deal with. You have to simplify your game. And I know it seems so complex right now to win a game, but you know, I always go to what Drew has talked to me about and says that the simple game is most effective when you're going through it right now. Like, just narrow your responsibilities, worry about what you have to worry about, and go from there. If everyone does that, this is something that David Quinn alludes to. It's guys not trusting each other out there on the ice. I know this is people thinking of, oh, they don't, you know, they're not, you know, on the same page. It's they don't know that if they do their thing, that they can rely on somebody to do their thing as well. That if they make their defensive assignment, if they go and cover their guy, that somebody, when they move, is going to slot into that space and pick up their own defensive responsibility. That's, in my opinion, part of what David Quinn means. I think he also talks about, you know, they don't trust guys because they don't know if they're going to be where they expect them to be when they move the puck. If they're trying to work hard on the breakout and they go to throw a pass, is somebody going to be where they expected them to be? I mean, that's how it goes in the NHL, and especially when you've had this much turnover on a roster from one year to the next. And I know you're saying, well, Ted, this is game 73. But yeah, it's also game 73 of many, many guys who have come to this roster, who have exited this roster, who have been injured on this roster. Continuity has not exactly been this team's strong point. So I would hope that that is the storyline for just this year. And we talk about years forward, we'll be talking about more and more continuity. But the injuries and the roster movement have definitely played a role in why the San Jose Sharks do have the record that they do have. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Chris Kerber, the play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Blues. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing great. Looking forward to tonight's game and finding out at the end what the results of them look like.
Right. I mean, this is a team that is definitely very much in a playoff race right now, trying to fight for their lives, you know, on the outside looking in right now, but definitely within striking distance. I guess, what is the 30,000-foot viewpoint of the team right now?
Well, yeah, this is game number 74, and I think it's pretty fair to say that from game number one, on a night-to-night basis, I don't know that anybody really knows the kind of game we're going to see from the team. We've seen them play spectacularly great games against the top teams of the league. And if you go back to that game in the middle of November in San Jose, we saw them play some spectacularly horrible games against teams that are not very good. And that's why they're in the position that they are in. The losses in November to San Jose, early December to Chicago and Columbus, is a big difference in the 6 points in the standings, which right now would have you in a playoff spot, those three games alone. So the 30,000 foot is you have not played consistently well enough to control your own destiny. So you need some help at the same time, despite having a schedule against opponents that are below you in the standings. I think this team has proven they can't take anybody for granted because they've laid some stinkers. So, man, I'll tell you, once again, I'm going to a hockey game tonight going, I have no idea. Well, here's the one thing I'm sure of. The Blues have had really good goaltending all season long.
Yeah.
The only consistency that I think that you can count on for the Blues this year, their goaltending has been fantastic.
What did you think of the Thursday night performance when it's tied at 3 going into that final frame? What was your mindset, and what did you think of the response that the Blues showed on the ice?
Well, you know, they battled back. They got lucky. I don't know if you or maybe some of your fans had a chance to actually watch that game, but the Calgary Flames had a goal waved off for being a high stick, but it actually went off of our player. So the Blues got some puck luck in that period. And to me, that was huge. So they get some puck luck. They get some bounces that went their way, which is good. Those things do tend to even out, don't they, over the course of a season. So they battled back, and in the end, they did what they needed to do, Ted. They got the 2 points. I mean, that's the bottom line, as they got the 2 points and are, you know, put themselves in a position to maybe move, if they get some help today, within 3 points of a playoff spot.
Yeah, obviously that would be huge, and they know what they're going up against in the Sharks. I know that Coach Bannister talked about the team not looking mentally or physically sharp. I think for me, the physically sharp is understandable. Like you said, that's game 73. Tonight's game 74. But the concerning aspect to me would be the fact that he thinks they don't look mentally sharp, in which you're in a situation where every game feels like it's do or die.
Yeah, and you know what? I did an interview with Craig Berube 2 days before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say, you know, for those that have been fans of the game long enough, if there's over the last 15 years to 20 years, maybe 15 years, because it really started to change when that lockout in 03-04 changed the game financially, changed the game on the ice with the rule changes, so they didn't have to deal with the Lou Lamoriello trap anymore that was just killing the game. And but the biggest change in the game is you feel the playoff pressure of a season on day one.
Yeah.
You really do. You lose three games in a row, for example, to open up the season, and you feel like you're chasing for a while, right? And so I asked Craig Berube about the mental grind of the season, and he said that's one of the most important things that a team to find success has to have to be able to make the playoffs and then maybe go further and win. And he goes, when we talk about toughness, it's, yes, there's the physical toughness you need. You got to battle through bumps and bruises. He said, but it's the mental toughness that really is the biggest difference maker. And I think very openly and honestly, I don't think that the Blues team has shown enough mental toughness that it takes to even just make the playoffs, you know, with more certainty. So it's something that teams have to deal with. You don't have to have the best teams in terms of the most skill doesn't always win.
Yeah.
It's the teams that play the hard way that win. And you got to, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, when you're talking, you know, the month of March and the Blues are game number, I think 15 or 16 tonight. Like that's a hard physical grind. It's impossible for you to have your best every single night when it comes to that. So you've got to find ways to impact the game in other ways. And if you are not mentally tough enough to play the second half of your shift the right way with putting the pucks in the right areas, things like that, you're going to find yourself on the losing side of things more. And that at times, I think, has bit the Blues.
Do you think that, you know, Coach Bannister and the rest of the staff has said, don't sleep on this San Jose Sharks team. They do not want to have their third double-digit, you know, losing streak of the season. Yes, the record is what it is. The standings don't lie. However, there is going to be probably an air of desperation in the Sharks game tonight.
Ted, if you're the St. Louis Blues, I don't think the coach has to say that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up to the players. And that's, you know, that when a team becomes a winning team, and you guys will eventually see this again, and you saw it for such a long time there in San Jose, it's when the players in the locker room take it over. If a coach has to say that to you, you got the wrong players in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and if you're this Blues team, which didn't really make any changes at the deadline, so it's pretty much the same team we've had all year. If the last time we played San Jose in November, if the December games against Chicago and Columbus, if, you know, a recent game against Detroit, if some things like that don't stand out to you, then we go back to the previous comment about mental toughness. We got the wrong guys in the room. So, but look, here's the flip side too. You know, yeah, it's not an overly talented San Jose team. It's not the San Jose Sharks that we've been used to. You know, really, that the ending of that era of San Jose hockey ended with the, you know, conference final in 2019.
Right.
But these are still players that are playing in the NHL. You know, you Mark Edward Vlasic is a player with immense pride. You know, these are still guys that are fighting for their contracts for next year, for jobs, for opportunities. You take that for granted, you're going to be on the losing stress side of it again. And the Blues, I think, based on their history this year, should know that.
Well, Chris, I will let you go because I know you've got a busy day as always, but I appreciate your time. Have a great call tonight, and I promise I will bug you again soon. All right, my friend?
Yeah, you got it, Ted. Listen, I hope things turn well for the Sharks at some point. I love the building out there. I love the market. And honestly, I've said this, if there's a franchise that deserves the first overall pick, not because they're bad enough to earn it, but because they were good enough so long for their fans to earn it, I think it's the Sharks. So I'm pulling for you guys to get that first overall pick this year.
Love it, Chris. Thank you very much, man.
All right, guys. Take care. See you, Ted.
Again, that is Chris Kerber, play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Blues, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And we are just about out of time. Be sure to join us at 4:30 for live pregame coverage, 5 o'clock go time, right here on the Sharks Audio Network as Team Teal visits the St. Louis Blues. I will see you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.